bless you. Welcome to New Song. We're so happy to have you here with us this morning. My name is Pastor Jeff Lamont, and it's my beautiful wife, Tracy, with the hat on.
I'm festive this morning.
There you go, honey. Amen. Well, it's by the way, can we thank our worship team? You guys did great. Doug and Lee and Mike, thank you all. You'll notice our steps and our platform are kind of spotty this morning, but you know, it's just because when you rip the carpet out, you traipse stuff all over. We've cleaned it up several times, but this next week we're going to have new carpet in here. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be so exciting. I can't wait. First time in 18 years. That other carpet lasted us really, really well and was a great investment. I think this carpet we're getting will be too, and I think you'll be really pleased and happy with it. Are you having problems here?
I'm having problems with my
phone. Okay. Well, let's see. Sorry. Did you turn it on there?
And I did, but I think the battery is
dead. Uh-oh. Well, then we got some wonderful sound technicians up there that'll be more than glad. You're right. It is dead as a doornail. So can we get a person to grab that mic and change batteries real quick, please? Yeah. So anyway, new carpet. How do you like the front of the platform? Doesn't that look really cool? Yeah. And Steve and James and Craig and some of the guys came out this past week and helped pull all this carpet. And I don't know if you know that we do this, but we really do try to be good stewards. That was a pretty good job, but it saved the church $1,400. To me, that was worth it. And, you know, we can put that money somewhere else and, you know, do some good with that. So we're always looking to say, but I appreciate these guys coming out and working hard and being a part. Today, after the service, we need as many guys' help as we could kind of get today, because the carpet layers will be in this week, and it means everything has to be cleared out of here that's on the floor. So all the chairs are going to have to be taken out into the hallway. That's going to take a little bit. The things like our subwoofers and stairs over here, even these stairs, they're going to have to be sat gently up here on the platform. We've just got to get this room ready, and if any of you can hang around for a few minutes and help us with that, that'd be much, much appreciated today. So, all right. You want to welcome folks, honey?
Welcome.
Oh, hey, you don't even have anything to...
I don't, but...
You don't have a mic back. Okay.
I used to be a cheerleader. Years ago.
All right. Well, you know what?
I'll hope you had a great Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. We could do that.
I think they're working on it.
Yeah, carrying communication card inside your bulletin. Yep. So fill that out today if you're a guest. We're going to pray over offering here in just a moment. We're hoping today that we make some real progress on Harvest Project. We're close, but still a little ways to go on our goal. And great year-end giving. If you're looking to make sure your charitable giving is up to speed, this would be a great place. We're making a Harvest Project, making a difference all over the world.
That's right.
And it's pretty exciting. Really, the best way to even see the scope of it is to look at the board outside that Janine did for us. So let's pray over our tithes and offerings. Lord, take our giving today, God, and use it for your great glory all over this world to make a difference in people's hearts and lives, to touch people, to change people, to bring good news into places where there's darkness, where there's desperation. God, have your way. In Jesus' strong name, and bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. While you're giving this morning, by the way, I do want to also just mention again that Cody and Heather had to rush out this morning. I think Cody was going to be on the drums with us, and little Landon his leg is locked up again, and they're rushing to Cozair Children's Hospital, and would so covet your prayers. And we prayed earlier, but I'd like to just pray again. Father, touch little Landon in Jesus' strong name. Touch Cody and Heather. Bring encouragement and strength to their hearts. And God, in all things, you are working together for the good of those that love you and who are called according to your purpose. And Lord, that's certainly the Tylers. God, work in this situation and bring glory and bring healing and bring a touch of your love and your peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Honey, did you do something to the sound guys? Did you?
I did. Yeah.
You did? Is that what happened?
Oh, I can't do this.
Oh, here are you. You're doing pretty good there.
Hey. Thank you.
All right. Well, you can go ahead there. Okay. Let's see. There
it's
we go.
On. Yay. Ha. Yes. Oh, listen, ladies,
glad to have you back,
Saturday, though. I'm wearing this because of the new year. It's called New Year Do You, Revelation Wellness. So it's this Saturday at 10 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think maybe glasses has something to do with it, maybe a hat. I'm not quite sure. But we are going to move unto the Lord and worship him through movement. So it's a great ministry. You know, we exercise, have a lot of fun, and then at the very end when we're stretching and we just rest before the Lord. It's amazing what God does when you rest before the Lord. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Does healing, and it's been a great time. So please come if you can. Saturday, it will be in here. We'll have the carpet. It'll be great.
Ooh, you guys will be the first ones to use the new carpet.
Yeah, so we're excited.
Very cool.
Yep, please come. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back. So.
All right, thank you, honey. 21 days of prayer and fasting's coming. Hope you're getting your heart ready for that. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that. It's been a season of feasting. Now we get to fast and seek the Lord together and believe him for great things and breakthroughs. Growth Track's coming first Sunday in February. Small groups are coming. Be getting in your proposals. We need you to use your gifts and bring your passions to the table so that we can reach more people, include more people. Small groups make a big difference.
Yeah.
Lots of ways to connect with New Song Louisville. And winter camp's coming up for our young people.
That's going to be fun. Hey, and there's more dips in the back for New Year's. So if you're interested in getting a dip to help the young youth group and the young people, please let me know. I'll let you know and let you see all the dips that we have.
All right. Thank you, hon.
All right.
Hey, by the way, today when you're leaving, if you haven't got one yet, we printed out a copy of our daily Bible reading so that you'd have the month of January. We're working on some new journals to get to you, but we love it when we can all together walk through the Word together through the year. So would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Father, we pray you'd speak to us this morning. I believe you have some important things to speak to each of our hearts about today. Holy Spirit, would you minister and even challenge and even correct and even encourage our hearts as we open your word today. May your word come alive. Lord, we love you. We worship you. May we end this year strong, and may we move into the new year strong in faith, seeking you, serving you, watching, being ready, being focused on what you have for us. In Jesus' strong name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
I want to share with you a message today that probably you haven't heard a message on the soon coming king lately, but I want to talk about Jesus, our soon coming king. Part of the reason this message was laid on my heart was a tweet that my dear friend and the president of our Foursquare movement tweeted out this past week. And it was simply this: celebrate his birth, anticipate his return. Celebrate his birth, anticipate his return. If I could get one of my sound and media guys to come and get my monitor up here, that'd be awesome if we could do that. I think we're a little short-handed today, so we're working through some things here. Matthew chapter 24. If anybody has said to you or you've heard anybody try to predict a date of the return of Christ, let me just warn you that you need to be cautious about that. Matthew 24:36 says this, but about the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So if anybody's trying to sell you a book or sell you something, be careful. But I will tell you this, there is a growing sense, I think, in many hearts and minds. And when you look around and you consider the increase in even natural disaster type things like tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and all that's happening in the world that we live in, it's hard not to have a sense that we're moving toward a very, very special time. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, or chapter 12, verse 32 said this about the men of Issachar. It said that they understood the times and they knew what Israel should do. So this morning I want to talk about the soon coming king. It's one of the cardinal things of our four square movement. As you leave today, you'll see four little symbols out there on the wall. You'll see a cross, you'll see a cup, a chalice, you'll see a dove, and you'll see a crown. And the crown is one of the four square, we have four logos, but four things that we focus on, that we believe are cardinal to the life and ministry of Jesus himself, our King, our Savior. And that is that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And lastly, and not leastly, in any way, shape, or form, he's the soon coming King. And I don't know about you, but that excites me. That excites me. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I know sometimes when we're younger, we're not really so excited about the return of the King and this life being eclipsed. But it's important that we understand that none of us, if we're true followers of Christ, are going to miss anything when we come into his presence and experience his fullness. You're not in any way, shape, or form, whether you're a young person or an old person, you're not going to go, man, I regret that I didn't get to live on that sin-filled earth a lot longer. No, when you come into the presence of the Lord, you're going to be so fulfilled. It's going to be so far beyond what you can even conceptualize. And I just want to say to us this morning, Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. There will be a final generation. And it could be this one. It could be my kids' generation. They're calling it the millennials or the younger portion. They're calling it Generation Z. Isn't that interesting? Do you know why social demographers, sociologists have coined Generation Z, and these are not necessarily Christian people, but they've coined it Generation Z because many of them believe it could be the last generation. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? So I want us to look at a scripture as we kind of get into the thought around scripture here today. And this is a scripture that has us encountering Christ just after his resurrection, but just before his ascension. Actually, his ascension takes place in this passage. And let me go back and just remind you what he's just said to us. He's just talked to us about the great commission. And I say it specifically that way to remind you that it's a co-mission. Sometimes we, you know, just run it together, commission. And we don't think about the fact that it is a mission that you are to be on with him. That the church is to be on with him. He's left us his last instructions, which are his final instructions, which should be seen as the most important instructions. The task and the duty and the glory and the privilege that you and I get to have, and that is that when his Spirit comes upon us, we get to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 9, It says this, after he had said this, after he'd given this great commission, and by the way, it's why this church is a missions-minded church, because it's the task Jesus left with his church to accomplish. So we're going to be all about that in every way we possibly can. I see Amy up here. I'm so proud of Amy and living her life on mission for Christ. Proud of you, young lady. Yesterday I got to give the good news to some folks about support and blessing through the Harvest Project, some new young people who are getting ready to be launched out, some of our missionaries that we've been able to raise support for, and great stuff happening. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Two angels come onto the scene. It's very interesting. "Men of Galilee," they said, "well, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back." And I want to emphasize those three words this morning as we are finishing out this year, standing on the cusp of this new year. Jesus will come back. You can count on it. It doesn't matter if it's been nearly 2,000 years since he left the first time. He will fulfill these words. And guess what? He will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. And actually in the same place. One of the most powerful things for me when I was in the Holy Land was standing there on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives overlooks the city of Jerusalem. And one of the things you can clearly see from the Mount of Olives is the Eastern Gate, which has been shut for all this time because it will be reopened when Christ himself comes. He will go through that Eastern Gate into that city, coming back in the same place, in the same way that they saw him that day go into heaven. It's going to be powerful. Now, we don't know the day or the hour, but the Bible does talk about knowing the season. Knowing the season. To me, I have a sense that we could possibly be in the season. I don't know for certain, but I sure do want to live with certainty that he's coming back and that I need to be ready. Luke chapter 21. Look at this passage. "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish." Does that sound at all like the world we're living in? "And perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror." Are we living in a world that is clutched with terrorism? That talks a lot about terrorism, actually. Apprehensive of what is coming on the world. Have you noticed the amount of movies and TV shows that are focused on the end of the world, the apocalypse, the closing of time? "For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud," just like we talked about there a moment ago, "with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Now, this is where we should get excited, because this is exciting stuff, folks. He's coming again, and when he comes again, there will be redemption. We're in the midst of finishing out our year in the Bible. Today, we read part of Revelation 21. I don't know about you, but I loved that passage this morning as I was sitting before the Lord, where Jesus is saying, "I'm gonna make all things new." Man, it's gonna be beyond what we can conceive. It should be something that excites us in our very souls. But I can tell you this, anytime you bring up this subject, it makes some people nervous. You can almost feel the tension. And some people are not quite ready. Some people are not convinced. That's why, just to kind of break things up a little bit here this morning, because, well, this is a pretty serious message. That's why I'm going to tell you this joke, just so you can get lightened up here a little bit, okay? There's two little churches in a little town, you know, one of these little towns like we have in Kentucky, those one stoplight type towns, you know, and in those little towns, you always have the big churches on the corners. Have you ever noticed that? You know, the First Baptist and then the Methodist Church maybe across the way. And, you know, just on this particular day, the little Baptist pastor's out there and he's hammering in a sign in the front yard of the Baptist church. And it says, the end is near, you know, and it's funny because right crisscross across from him, the Methodist pastor standing in the front yard of the Methodist church, and he's hammering in a sign. And it says, turn around before it's too late, you know, and just as both these guys are hammering these signs in, you know, to speak a message to their community, you know, here comes this car screeching down the main street, and they roll their window down, and, you know, the guy shouts out, you crazy religious fanatics. And then he turns the corner, and, you know, before you know it, you hear screeching and screaming and a big splash. The one pastor looks across the street to the other and says, you know, maybe our sign should have said bridge out ahead. I don't know. You know, that's funny. I don't care what you say. That's funny. I just don't care what you all say. You know, it's interesting because I did this one time. I Googled the return of Christ. And it's very interesting if you study the history of people's thoughts about the return of Christ. Almost every generation has made a case for the return of Christ. And I'll be honest with you, I think that's healthy. I think that's good. I don't look at that and go, wow, look at that. You know, they were wrong and they, you know, they really missed it. No, I don't look at that at all. I think Jesus left us with this sense that we're supposed to always be watching for his return. Here's what I think the Lord would want us to do, to be quite honestly, we should plan as if we're going to live another 50, 60, 100 years, but we should prepare in such a way and live in such a way as if he's coming back tomorrow. Plan like he's not coming back in your lifetime, but live very intentionally like he's coming back tomorrow. I think Jesus left us with that tension. I think Jesus wanted us to live in that unresolved tension. I sometimes take friends to task when they say things like, well, you know, you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I don't think history proves that out in any way, shape, or form, because in all honesty, those believers throughout time that have had their eyes focused on eternity also are the very believers who work so diligently and passionately to bring advancement and reform and blessing to this earth. It's just there in history. Christianity is replete with examples and scenarios where the first hospitals are started, the first educational institutions are started, and so on and so forth, where there's redemption being brought because they're heavenly minded, but they're making the best difference they possibly can during their time on this earth. They're occupying well, but they're looking for his return at any moment. They're making every difference they can. So this morning, I want to make a case with you as we're closing out 2018 why this just might be the generation that sees the return of Christ, and that ought to be something we get excited about and that we're passionate about. I think there's a number of signs that could certainly mean it would be in our time. And I want to kind of break them down and share a couple of thoughts. I mean, we could go a lot into this, but we won't, but I'll share a few things that I think are important. Ignore my pictures real quick. Let me hit some things here first. Worldwide satellite technology. I think that's an interesting development that you and I have seen in our lifetime come about. I think it's important to the end time narrative. When you read Revelation 11, which we just did a week or so ago, it talks about these two witnesses that are that come back. Some theologians think they're Moses and Elijah, and they come back and they preach, and then the Antichrist murders them, and these two witnesses are left for dead in the street for 3.5 days. And it says there, it's very interesting that it brings this into the passage. It says that every nation, every people, every place on the earth will see this and witness this. Now, just until our generation, that would have never been across the whole span of the earth. You can now because of worldwide satellite technology. Secondly, we have worldwide financial technology. And some have been talking about this for years and years, and it's getting closer and closer, and it's becoming more and more of a reality. Some people dismissed this in the past as people talked about things and thought, oh, you're just making that up. That's never going to happen. But in Revelation chapter 13, there's a scene there where the Antichrist is trying to bring peace and unity through deception to the whole world, and he implements this thing that the Bible calls the mark of the beast in your hand or forehead. So can you imagine that, by the way, be at, you'd be at Walmart, all right, you're paid. So check the pictures out. So this is pretty interesting. That's Brian Williams. Some of you would notice the well-known news anchor. And I don't actually know when this broadcast was, but in the picture there and in the small print, it says All Americans Microchip by 2017. So there was some thought that it may even happen sooner than it has. And it shows the procedure happening there. And then this is a story about a company in Wisconsin that went ahead and microchipped their employees. And you see them in the process there. And there's all kinds of really interesting things there where this is beginning to happen. And once again, it couldn't have happened until the development of the microchip and it becoming so small. And that's all happened just in our lifetime. So let's go to a third one, and one that I get really excited about, and that one's worldwide evangelism, because our church is passionate about this. We're passionate about getting the gospel to people who haven't yet heard. One of the things that I loved this past year, and I'll do it again as we move into this year, is go back and look at all the places that Harvest Project dollars went around the world. And last year was something like 40 nations. And a lot of those nations are what we would consider some of the least reached nations on the face of the earth. I mean, we've had people here in our own congregation this past year who are a part of the Harvest Project going into places like Turkey and some of the stands and China and India and places like that where there are still people groups that have yet to hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just give you some thoughts. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And that word nations is the word ethne. It's not the word nations in the sense of political nation states. We have about 193 of those in the world today that we identify. But there are a lot more people groups, okay? And that's what ethnos is talking about. This gospel will be preached to all ethne or ethnos. There are about 17,000 of those on planet Earth. And, they're defined by their people groups with a language and a culture. There's about 10,000 of those 17,000 people groups that have a Bible and have a missionary or a witness in them. There's about 7,000 that we call unreached people groups. Unreached people groups. They don't have a Bible. They don't have a witness in their language, in their place. And that's what we want to make sure Harvest Project dollars are getting to places like that, where there needs to be missionaries and missions who are going in and strategically targeting those unreached people groups. It's one of the reasons we love to partner with YWAM. YWAM is able to send in short-term teams into places like that where you couldn't go as a long-term missionary, and they're able to go under the guise of various, you know, work projects and compassion projects, mercy projects. And it's amazing what's happening in this world we live in. Some of the places that have been on the unreached people group list, some nations that you would be very familiar with, like Iran and Azerbaijan, some of those are becoming the fastest growing places of Christianity today. Can you give the Lord praise for that? It's amazing what's happening. In 1970, there were 1.2 billion Christians on this earth, 1970. A lot of you in the room can remember back to 1970. I just was a little guy, but I can remember that. Today, 2017, 2.6 billion Christians on planet Earth. More than doubled just in the last 40 years, 47 years. So that, you know what that says? Let me tell you what that says. More people have come to Christ in the last 47 years than in all the years prior. It's pretty amazing what's happening on planet Earth today. The gospel is growing. Of those 193 nation states, when you think of countries, the gospel's growing in all but 20 of them. Out of the 193, there are 20. And guess who's a part of that list of 20? The United States of America. Isn't that sad? We're seeing a decline because we're becoming more and more secularized. We're becoming more and more seduced by the wisdom of this world rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, the United States has been the greatest mission-sending nation in the history of the world. So what's that say? It says, for one thing, it says we need to wake up. We need to get about the mission here. We need to realize the world's coming here and we have unprecedented opportunity. We need to plant more churches. We have 3 church plants right now. I'd love to see many more that God would raise up in our midst in the years to come. But we're living in a unique time, and I'm grateful to be alive right now in this unique time in all of human history. I don't want to scare you today. I want to excite you. So let me share 3 things with you about the second coming of Christ. First is this: Jesus' return ought to comfort us. It ought to comfort us. In fact, when Paul begins to talk about the second coming of Christ, he uses it as an encouragement, as a comfort. And let me just tell you, you've probably been around long enough to experience some of this, but sometimes life on earth stinks. Sometimes life on earth hurts. This is a sinful planet that has been affected tremendously by the fall of humanity and the sin that that brought into this earth. Yeah, I know I just was praying the other day for a precious couple that just lost a baby. Their hearts were broken. Their lives were devastated. They carried this baby for 9 months and then lost this baby just when this baby should have been coming into, you know, birth and life. Prayed for them, wept with them. Everything doesn't work out on planet Earth the way we always hope and expect it would. But let me say this, everything does work out on the new earth and the new heavens. All the heartache, all the difficulty, all the challenges, they're not going to be there. You and I, we're so ingrained with what life is like here, it's hard for us to conceive a place where there will be no sorrow, no suffering, no death, no night. But it's coming, and it ought to excite you. 1 Thessalonians 4, here's Paul's words. According to the Lord's word, according to what Jesus said, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord. Now, us seminarians, we use a fancy word there, the parousia, the coming of the Lord, or the advent, the coming of the Lord, the second coming, will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. Notice this, that Paul doesn't even talk about death. He says they've just fallen asleep. They're waiting. for this redemption. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. There's what we talked about a moment ago. Just like he left with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Notice the word caught up, by the way. It's one word in the Greek text. It's the word harpazo. The Latin equivalent of that, when the Bible was translated in the Vulgate into Latin, the word rapio was used. That's where we get the word rapture. It literally means, harpazo means a swift taking away, a swift, resistless, divine energy that will take away God's people at just the right time. I happen to believe personally that God will take us out of the wrath that's coming and mentioned in the book of Revelation. If you've been reading the book of Revelation with me, you've been going, wow, what about all these seals and all these vials and all these things? I don't believe he's appointed the church to have to go through that wrath. I think we're going to be caught up with the Lord and with those who have been asleep and you know, that precious couple's going to see that baby they lost. They're going to be reunited with that baby. Listen, folks, Louisville's a great place to live, but heaven's going to be awesome. I'm just telling you. The Ville has nothing on the new earth. It's going to be really, really good. I hear some people, you know, dreaming about, man, I want to move to here. I want to move to there, and I want to enjoy the mountains, or I want to enjoy the ocean. Listen, it's not going to hold a candle to what you're going to get when Christ comes back. Secondly, Jesus' return should prepare us. It ought to prepare us. Listen to this. There's over 300 references in the New Testament to the return of Christ. That's quite a few. That's a lot. 300 references. Or let's put it this way. 216 of the 260 chapters in the New Testament mention the return of Christ. Evidently, God and Jesus and Paul and they thought this was a pretty important thing for you and I to keep in the forefront of our hearts and our minds. We lose sight of this, and when we lose sight of this, we become less effective. When we lose sight of this, we become compromised. When we lose sight of this, the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Without something that anchors us, without something we're looking forward to, we just drift. We lose sight. This ought to encourage us. It ought to prepare us. 23 of the 27 books in the New Testament mention the end time or the second coming of Christ. Now, why are you telling me this, Pastor Jeff? Because God had a lot to say about it. And if he had a lot to say about it, we need to be talking about it. And we need to get excited about it. And we need to be prepared for his return. I don't want you to be freaked out about this or in the dark about it. I want you to be emboldened about it. I want it to set you to mission. I want it to get you up every day with a passion to serve the Lord and make a difference while you have the time and opportunity here on this earth. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-4, this is Paul again. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we don't need to write to you. You know, what? Because we don't know the date. We don't know the date. Times and days, we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. I don't want us to be in darkness. I don't want us to be freaked out about this. I want us to be prepared. I want us to understand Jesus is coming, and it could be in our lifetime. Let me just say this. We ought to see it as a wedding plan. I had the privilege of going to a beautiful wedding last night. I enjoy weddings so much. They're just a great time of celebration. There's coming a wedding feast that you and I have been invited to be a part of. The church is the bride of Christ. One day we're going to be celebrating with him in his presence. It's going to be awesome. If you and I are about to be wed, to Christ himself, then guess what? It's not a good time to be dating other people. Can I just put it that way? If you were about to be married and, you know, and your fiance hears that you've been going out with others, that's probably not going to go well. Listen, church, let me just say that it's time that we wake up. It's time that we understand how we live matters. This passage gives us the sense, and it's talking to believers, but there are those that don't believe who are going to be very surprised by this, who are going to be caught off guard by this. We need to be focused in living our lives faithfully for Jesus. Thirdly, Jesus' return should focus us. It should get us incredibly focused, like a laser, if you will. By the way, this new projector system is laser. And isn't it awesome? I love it. It's not a light bulb, it's a laser. Let's get laser focused, just like this screen we're looking at. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 and 6, Paul goes on, "You're all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober." I love that word, sober. Not drunk with the things of this world. And you know that's easy to be. Intoxicated with the things of this world. You know, I'm a techie. I love tech stuff. I love my iPad, my iPhone, all that stuff. But, you know, it's easy to get so caught up in that. It's easy to get so distracted by that. It's easy to compromise with that. It's easy to lose sight of Christ with that. Those things are not more important than the Word of God. Those things are not more important than prayer. Those things are not more important than fellowship with other believers. People are becoming more and more and more and more and more isolated because they're just sitting focused on a screen. So, you know, maybe you're asking as I'm preaching about this morning, are we really living in the last days? Let me just put it this way, and maybe you've heard me say this before, but it's the truth. We're living in your last days. We're living in your last days. You don't know how much longer you have. I don't know how much longer I have. So quite honestly, let's be sober about this. If I were to say to you emphatically this morning that, yes, I absolutely believe we're living in the last days, would it change the way you're living your life right now? Because if it would, then I'll say that. Because that's what the Word of God is trying to do. It's trying to get you and I focused in such a way that we're absolutely convinced, so that we'll be prepared, so that we'll be sober-minded, so that we'll be focused, so that we will not be caught off guard. We're the kind of people, though, who love to find an exception and love to kind of take it easy and love to not exactly, you know, quite commit. That'll get you in trouble. That'll get you in big trouble. So what should we do? What should we do about this whole thing? Let me offer some more thoughts. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verses 37 through 44. When the Son of Man returns, it'll be like it was in Noah's day. Now that's interesting. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time that Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way it'll be when the Son of Man comes. Two will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you two must keep watch. Keep watch, for you do not know the day your Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch. He'd have Mr. Browning right in his lap, ready and waiting, wouldn't he? He'd have Smith and Wesson right there with him so that that burglar didn't get into his house and he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready. Can you read those words with me? All the time. How often? All the time. For the Son of Man will come when least expected. So what should I do? Let me offer some thoughts. Number one, I think we need to think clearly. We need to think clearly. The end of all things, 1 Peter, let's look at what Peter has to say about this. We've looked at what Paul has said, what Jesus has said. Peter, the end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Have you ever noticed that? So that you can pray. What is prayer? And we're getting ready to enter into a time of prayer and fasting. We're giving you the daily reading so that you can get on board with us. Prayer is the time of day where your realities get realigned with God's priorities. You maybe ought to write that down and think about that with me a little bit this morning. Prayer is that time of day or that occasion, that moment where in the presence of God, your realities get realigned with His priorities. It's where clear thinking comes back into alignment. It's where I get God's perspective on things and I'm not just trapped in my perspective on things. Your prayer time should produce on a daily basis a realigning of your priorities in this life. It's not just about you coming with your want-to list, your to-do list before God. Prayer's when you come into His presence and you're not just telling God about things on earth. It's where God's helping you to have a heavenly perspective as you live out your days on this earth. Bible says, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Well, how do you do that? Well, it always pretty much starts in this place of prayer. And if you're like me in any way, shape, or form, that place of prayer includes some powerful things. You've got your Bible, you've got your journal, you've got maybe something to worship. And you're creating this moment, this opportunity where you're encountering God and where your problems, you know, problems are big. You know, you've lived through the day, you've encountered some challenges, problems are big, and God seems small, problems are big, and God seems small, problems are big, problems get smaller, and God gets bigger, problems start to diminish, and God becomes exalted. And suddenly this shift, this process takes place as you're sitting in the presence of the Creator of all the heavens and earth and all the universe. And now all of a sudden, the things that seem so big and looming so large have become small in His presence. You pray, you worship, you journal down those prophetic promises. God realigns your realities with His priorities. So I'd like to just ask you as we're closing today, how will you spend time with God in 2019? Are you setting out a plan? Are you considering that? I hope you are. I hope you're considering joining us in the fast in some way, shape, or form. It's not about how you fast or what you fast. It's about, you know, having a sincere heart to want to seek God in this new year and setting aside time to prioritize that. Maybe you fast sweets. Maybe you fast a meal a day. Maybe you fast two meals a day. I don't know. Maybe you just go on some kind of juice fast. I don't know. Maybe you do a Daniel fast. It all is good if it's under the Lord, if it's to set your priorities on seeking Him first. Secondly, we should think clearly first. We should also focus on relationships. First Peter goes on, the end of all things is... Yeah, 1 Peter 4, 8, 9. Above all else, love each other deeply. Above all else. He's just said, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so you can pray. And above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. What really matters, Pastor Jeff? Let me just tell you what matters. People. People people, people. They're what matters to God. You're what matters to God. Your neighbor is what matters to God. Your coworker matters to God. Your friends matter to God. Your family members matter to God. People, everything else pretty much burns. That's sobering. But people are eternal. We care about people in Turkey. People that you may never ever meet. You may never ever understand. You may never even get a chance to experience their culture on this side of the equation. We care about people in China. We care about people in Turkmenistan. We care about people in Nicaragua. We care about people all over the earth. That's why we support missionaries and ministries there. By the way, we care about the women on the streets of Louisville, Kentucky, who've been abused and trafficked. We care about the refugee peoples that come into this city and that are lost and don't even know how to pump gas or how to get a card that'll, you know, help them to pump that gas. We care about the pregnant ladies in our city who are struggling with whether to keep the baby or not. Tracy and I just went down with Christina and Sandy, had a great tour at Beside You for Life. We care about our neighbors. We care about our community. We ought to care about people more than anybody else. You know, you need somebody to watch your back. You need somebody to walk this journey with. You know why? Because you're going to fall. Some of you are going, Pastor Jeff, can't you be a little more positive than that? Well, I am positive. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to have problems. And you're going to need somebody to be there for you. And you're going to need somebody to lift you up. And you're going to need somebody to pray for you. We desperately need each other. I had someone ask me one time, what's church about anyway? Well, let me tell you, church is definitely about the community of God coming together and strengthening one another. You and I are not as strong if we are separated and isolated. We desperately need each other. Love each other deeply. So let me ask you that question. How are you going to focus on relationships in 2019? Please pray about leading a small group, hosting a small group, being a part of a small group. Because you need that fellowship. You need that interaction. You need getting together with other believers. Number three, I should make a difference. I should make a difference. And this is our last point. The end is near, folks. Look at what Peter says. And this is one passage, right? He said, the end's coming. Love each other deeply. And now he says, each one should use whatever gift he has received or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things, the gifts God has given you are so that God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You have gifts. The growth track is about helping you discover your gifts and put those gifts into practice for God's glory. How will you intentionally make a difference in 2019? In this year ahead? These are three great questions for you to be thinking about as we enter into this new year. Let me just put it this way. You should live for heaven. You should stand for the truth. Should preach the gospel in every way possible. And you and I should prepare to meet Jesus because he is coming again. By the way, if he came back today, do you feel pretty secure in the fact that you would you go with him? You can sure be secure in that fact Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a moment, please. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, ministry team to come up. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the answer with certainty about that question. If he were to come back, are you ready? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Do you feel like you're not clear on whether you'd be taken or not? Boy, God wants you to live with such an assurance of his love for you and the certainty that you are going to have a home in heaven with him. He wants you to live with the certainty of that. Let me just pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me just pray for you. Lord, I pray right now for them in this place that, Lord Jesus, if they have not accepted you, received your sacrifice, received your love, that they would do so right now by just calling out to you and saying, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Give me that eternal life that you promised. I want to be excited about your return. Oh, if you prayed that, the Lord heard you. For the rest of us here this morning, those that have already made a commitment to Jesus, how are you going to make a difference in this year ahead? What are you going to do differently? What are you going to allow God to challenge you with? How are you going to allow the Lord to move you out of your comfort zones into something meaningful that will really make a difference in others' lives? Would you let the Lord speak to you this morning, the Holy Spirit speak to you about that? By the way, if you're here today and you have any prayer need whatsoever, I don't want you to leave this place this morning until you've had the opportunity for somebody to pray with you. So these prayer counselors, they're here to pray with you over whatever need you might have to.